Nasty. Nasty. Let me see those eyes. Look at me.
Hey, everybody, it's Gene Simmons, and you're listening to Pod of Thunder. But you knew that, didn't you?
Welcome to Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in podcasting. It's your buddy Andy, Mr. Podcasting 2. I'm joined by Nick. I'm joined by Chris. And each and every week we get together and we give you America's favorite podcast.
You can actually hear Andy in there.
I'm in there, yeah.
Yeah.
That was taken from the Aaron Water show that happened.
You can actually hear Andy.
Just now.
Leading the charge.
Right.
There was a nice sort of coloration to the exhaust or the smoke that they left behind in this crisp autumn-like evening that we're having.
Which is pretty bizarre considering it's still... it's August,
it's
right?
August, yeah.
It's August today, too.
We're having a nice, cool evening.
Right.
Crisp.
Crazy stuff. It brings all this weather, the eclipse, this bizarre weather, it brings out the craziness in people, doesn't it?
I was told by friend of the show, Tom Kodal.
Uh-oh.
That downtown Chicago, on main streets, people were standing in the middle of the street looking up at the sky.
I don't doubt that. I stayed in the office and didn't care about the eclipse. Not to be a party pooper, but I was like, I'm not going out there.
I didn't look either.
Some people did. Our boss said, hey, if you guys want to go out and see it, go for it.
Wow, what a guy.
I know. Last time that happened was the Cubs parade, the World Series parade. And before that, never. So that's it. Those are the two occasions.
There was a thing at work. It said, there's a company-wide email. It said, from this time to this time, it's going to be... at the peak around here. If you want to go look, that's fine. Just know that any damage that happened, like if you go look at it and you damage your eyes or something, we're not...
We did not say that.
Yes, it absolutely did.
In a company email?
We're not liable for...
at my previous employer, they have a rooftop deck. Yeah. And before you could go up there, you had to sign a waiver absolving the company of any...
Unreal.
It's like, talk about taking the fun out of it.
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding. Jeez. Just brings up everything.
What
like
kind of a case would you have anyway? I mean, that's the thing.
Is it a bigger statement about our litigious society or a tightwad fucking paranoid company? Well, try a combination of both.
I think the former more than anything, but yeah.
Not to be Mr. News, but did you see that ESPN story about how there's a football game and is it in Charlottesville or near Charlottesville?
Wherever the University of Virginia or something.
Okay, but there's a college football game and the announcer who was scheduled to announce the game's name is Robert Lee.
An Asian guy.
And they, not only did they switch the schedule, but they put out a statement like, I don't even understand, but if they did just switch the schedule, fine. But putting out the statement ahead of time about how it could be insensitive because 200 years ago, or whatever, almost, there was a guy almost with the same name.
Astonishing idiocy.
Nothing
to
do with him.
A guy who would be George Washington if they won.
Right. Sure,
I'm just saying, a guy who was on one side.
Yeah.
And lost, and they're, you know.
Yeah.
And if he had won, then who knows?
But it has zero to do with this man.
No.
Yeah, it's you know.
It's just, it's, again, though, it's like, oh, God, we don't want
now,
that scrutiny.
And the poor guy is Asian. I mean, they put up with enough, like, with, you know, like, Hollywood.
Chris just made a great
face.
Well,
no, like...
Let him finish.
Like Hollywood, you hear all... You know, there's all that kind of stuff. Where they don't use enough.
Well, they were rounded up into detention camps during WW2
I mean,
year.
Like,
they didn't get a fair shake.
I'll bet you his middle initial isn't even E.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, why give the guy a hard time?
Try Y for Yashimoto or something. It's like, what idiocy is involved in that? So you get that. Hey, let's do a company eclipse viewing. Sign this waiver first. Fuck off.
Yeah.
I'm gonna fucking surf the internet at my desk instead. Way to suck the fun out of it.
That's what I did. Yeah.
And I also heard this company gave everybody the glasses and made them hand them back on their way off the roof.
For
it's
what?
Like, are you
for next time?
Fucking glasses. Yeah.
For the next one in 2060 or whatever.
Well, whatever. It's like, you know, this company fucking advertises itself as, you know, hey, we got this hip, kick-ass rooftop lounge in Chicago that we spent all this money on, but yeah, give us back those cardboard glasses. Fuck off.
That's ridiculous.
Man.
That's like at the movie theater when you do the 3D show.
Yeah, what do they do
with
those?
You pay extra for the glasses and they're like, please, let's recycle them. Give them back. Like, no, I paid $2 for these.
Right.
I might want to be Messy Marvin for Halloween one year.
Messy Marvin.
Maybe I'm going to.
Why not?
Maybe I'm going to use these.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving them back.
I paid for
it. It's not a deposit like an old 7-Up bottle.
I'll throw it in the garbage if I want. They're mine now.
Right in front of
me. Wipe my ass with them if I want. And then put them back. How's that grab?
Put them back on?
No. Put them in your fucking receptacle for recycling.
Too. Okay. That works too.
Jag-offs. Ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Fucking.
I'm telling you, there was just something going on this week, though. Because the other day, I was at the hardware store. I went to Lowe's. You know.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone knows Lowe's, but if you don't, gigantic big box hardware store, right? For the European listeners, whatever. I don't know if they have Lowe's, but
they probably do. That's another thing America does. We force our fucking lifestyles on everybody.
Are we? Are we exotic?
They got McDonald's over there.
Are we exotic to anywhere in the world? Or no?
I don't know. Probably not.
I'm just wondering, because if it, you
well,
know...
Let
if,
us know if on there, Twitter.
If there was some some specialty store straight out of another country, it would be, ooh. Okay,
yeah, right,
let's,
right,
let's
right.
Let's check this out.
But here, everything's
but
like,
it,
yeah,
if
that.
It's you're getting a Lowe's in, I don't know, Switzerland, are you? Is it like,
a store that has, you know, screwdrivers next to a display of the complete What's Happening on VHS.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So yep, that's pretty exotic and representative of America.
It is.
USA! USA!
Do they have to rezone those What's Happening DVDs before they sell them there?
Right.
Possibly.
That could be a, that could
region.
Be, yeah, that could be trouble.
Mm. So I was in the parking lot, and I'm standing out there, and I see this man approaching the building. And there's a woman out there taking the grills. You know how they put all the grills out in the morning? I was early when they were setting all those grills up.
Is this around here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you've been to a store in your life. There's a big sign that says entrance and a bunch of doors that slide when you stand in front of them. The guy goes up to the woman. He goes, is this the entrance? And she says, what? He said, is this the entrance? Like, she's the stupid one. When as big, like... 4 foot tall letters. It says exactly. Entrance right above it. And he acted like, hey, idiot, do you not understand what I'm saying to you? Oh, is this the entrance?
Well, that's right when it opens, right?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, hopefully I don't offend anybody. That's when the contractors go.
Oh.
And not, I'm sure there are some contractors that are pretty, like, down to earth guys, but that's a pretty gritty bunch.
Yeah, that's
the,
true.
The, when the contractors get in there before, they're, that's, you know, that's like.
Plus, they're on the tail end of a Coke jag and all fucking short-tempered and whatnot. Fuck those guys. Exactly. I'm the idiot?
Yeah. It's just really... It was such a bizarre interaction. I'm like, what? I couldn't... Yeah, I had to share that with you guys.
Just remind... Did I ever tell the story when I was host/doorman at the Hard Rock and some fucking tourist asshole, which we got tons of them over there.
Sure.
Needless to say. He's with his family, you know, and he comes up, he's on his way out the door, and he comes asks me, he goes, can you tell me how to get to Michael Jordan's restaurant? Oh yeah. You go out the door, you turn left, You go three blocks down to Wells Street.
Mm-hmm.
Turn left. Another two blocks to Illinois. It's right there on the corner.
Okay.
And he goes, great. Can you tell me about how far away that is? I go, about five blocks. He fucking demanded to see my manager and complained to him that I was being a wise ass. Now, I was a wise ass to people on many occasions. That was not one of them. What the fuck else am I supposed to say to this guy?
I just did math.
I don't know how long a city block is in the city of Chicago.
Right.
Fuck you.
You don't have a tape, whatever that is, a roller tape thing so you can tell how many miles it is.
I wasn't even trying to be a wise ass. How far away? Five blocks. What?
Yeah, there's no
what
Google
else am I
maps?
Supposed to say?
I don't know. Yeah.
Prick.
What? I want to know what he said to you right after you said about five blocks. Did he say, I want to talk to your manager?
Yeah, pretty
or was
much.
He like, what the fuck, man?
I don't even remember at that point, but it's just, you know, people are just, he's probably the same guy who made the Robert Lee decision, you know?
Probably.
Fucking jerk.
A bozo.
How pathetic. And like you said, they put out a statement
that's
calling even more attention to that decision.
That's the worst part.
Ridiculous, man.
Yeah. Well, hey, what's that? Those flashing lights and those familiar chimes mean that we have a package here. Nick, could you go get it?
I got it.
Got it.
Just
fast.
Got it.
You're
just now.
You're really fast.
I'm pretty quick.
Mm.
Cool Papa Bell inspires me.
Really?
Yeah.
What team was Cool Papa Bell on?
That's a good question. The Grays, I'm going to go with.
Mm.
Someone correct me.
Kay.
Negro League talk?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wonder if there were any Robert Lees in the Negro Leagues.
Asian guys,
yeah, right.
Plenty of those in the Negro Leagues.
Broke the racial barrier. The first Asian guy in the Negro Leagues.
That should be a movie.
Really. Exactly. Robert Lee is his name. This is how the magic happens, I'm telling you.
Breaking the color barrier. In the Negro Leagues. Oh, that's fantastic. I'm leaving.
Yeah, we're not gonna eclipse that on this episode.
No.
I can guarantee you.
Lifetime movie.
Oh. Yep.
So
starring what's that guy's? I can't think of his name. The guy from The Hangover. The guy who's naked the whole time.
Ken Jeong.
Yeah.
Yep.
Perfect casting.
Doesn't really have the build for it, but maybe that adds to the story. He's like a Rudy.
Yeah.
And
the guy from Black-ish can be the like grouchy old manager.
I'm thinking
won't accept the Asian guy on his team.
I'm thinking, what's the guy who's on, what's the worst looking show on TV? Empire.
Mm.
Terrence Howard.
Yeah, that guy.
Terrence Howard needs to be in this.
Terrence Howard, huh?
Yeah.
He would be good.
He would be fantastic.
That guy always looks confused and angry whenever he's on screen.
He could be Satchel Paige, I think. He could probably
be. There you go.
Terrence Howard has a very strange reputation.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Interesting guy.
He's just a bizarre man. Very difficult.
Don't look back. An Asian guy might be gaining on you. The new saying. All right, so do we have a package here?
I do, but let me check the flip it over here.
Who's this from?
It's from the Double Platinum Club.
Oh, darn it.
Sorry,
I was hoping it was my two-person infrared spa that I was looking up. Damn it. I put it on my Amazon wish list.
Well,
it's another thing that if you get that and you hook it up, you're going to have to sign a waiver before you get into it.
Right.
You know?
Have a stack of them right outside
you
the door.
Break your dick in this thing. It's not my responsibility.
Anything else is my responsibility, but if you break your dick.
Which is
your problem.
Thus far has been the most common accident
right.
in this particular spa. Yeah.
In fact, it's like printed on the side. It's just a stock warning for inflatable hot tubs.
Yeah. So.
It's a small one. Small package today.
Mm, who wants to make the joke?
Well,
nobody
Gene
probably.
Was in town. Or
oh, I thought you were going to make a Robert Lee joke.
No. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
See? This is why we have to make these these exclusions. But I don't know. Maybe small package in honor of Gene.
Okay.
As of the airing of this program or this episode, it'll be 2 days after his appearance in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
As of the recording of this episode, it's 2 days in advance of his appearance, which we will be attending. There are going to be some other potheads there as well. It's going to be quite the party.
Really?
Yeah, man.
I didn't know that.
Our boy Kevin Jepsen is going to be there.
Oh,
you
got
to believe Niels Johnson will be making an appearance.
Mm.
And
what about Kelly and Dave?
Kelly and Dave are going to be in the house.
Of course.
Or have been in the house if they're listening to this now. They were in the house.
I better go shopping. Gotta look good if these guys
gotta
are
look,
be
crotchless panties.
Yep. So that's a small
together
package.
we'll be heckling Tees, the opening band.
All caps.
The worst.
T-E-E-Z-E.
I'll be the guy in the Kansas City Monarchs Robert Lee jersey.
Get one of those made.
He's like, Kansas City Monarchs hat and a Saduharu O jersey.
So it's a small package.
It's a
in
small
honor of Gene.
Small package.
T-shirt only.
As
small
we,
package.
As we were talking, I opened it up, tore her open, and
with your stiff proposition.
Well. I don't know.
There's an opening.
I'm trying to think of from History of the World Part 1. Is there an opening that he might fit or something like that?
You got me on that one.
That's a good
classic joke.
Great line. Probably one of my wife's favorite movie moments, I would say.
Never seen it.
Oh, pretty good. Madeline Kahn.
Okay.
Mel Brooks fan in general, you?
Yeah, I haven't seen them all. Some of the late 70s ones. What, High Anxiety. It's all right, you know. But
Andy?
Never saw the...
You've never seen any Mel Brooks
I've
movies?
I've seen Young Frankenstein. I've seen Blazing Saddles. Robin Hood.
Spaceballs.
Spaceballs, Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Yeah.
Probably the most for some reason.
Much seen everyone except History of the World.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
And what's the other one with the... The rich guys, they
life stinks.
Life stinks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where they do? What are they? I forgot.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some scheme, and
then
he's homeless.
He's got to be homeless in order to keep his money. He's got to be homeless for a while. Something.
Yeah. Whatever.
Anyway, while you guys were talking before, I opened this up and actually, it was a card with a free download code for an app.
Oh, that's
a
the
new
worst.
App that's being beta tested.
It's the worst gift.
This
app.
This one sounds
Cracker
kind of...
Cracker Jack box. Download this app and get a picture.
Well...
Of a Baltimore Orioles hat.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, exactly.
Thanks.
Not interested.
And then we'll just constantly barrage you with ads for Cracker Jacks.
Yep.
Push notifications. Go ahead, Nick.
You have
Sorry.
Something against Cracker Jack.
I'm just
irritated. The Cracker Jack people in general.
I'd rather have...
A lot of baseball talk here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Baseball season's heating up.
It is.
So maybe that's what it is. Go on.
So I had downloaded it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the KISS, of course, because it's KISS. The Edit Her Out Breakup app.
Oh, this is good.
I like that.
Apparently you load it in and it'll you just one button and it'll remove and edit posts and photos out of your phone.
Incredible.
Your cloud.
Wow.
Your social media profiles.
There's something to this.
And your contact information.
This could be the best idea that the Double Platinum Club has had.
Because I think we've all seen it where we've known people who have been in a relationship.
Sure.
The relationship ends and you notice that every photo that had the other person in it is now gone.
Gone or cropped.
Yeah, usually just gone though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So this just does it for you.
That is interesting.
You press one button. You put the person's name in there.
Yeah.
It does. You know, on the phone, it'll auto-detect the facial features.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes care of all that.
Wow.
That's some advanced shit.
It is. And that's probably very... that's a time saver, because I imagine the people who do that, you got to log on, you got to go through, you got to go through every picture. They could be in different folders.
And with all your profiles, different profiles you have now.
Different social media platforms.
Yeah.
And then on Facebook, you know, they put it's like, oh, mobile uploads or profile pic. Yeah. You got to go through all of those. That's a pain in the ass, but this app sounds like it's solving all of the problems.
And
here,
since it's not finished, it's kind of being beta tested now. It's there's a feature that they're probably going to add.
Okay.
I would think, since it's only a how you what's
protect.
Yes.
Another Asian guy. Too bad he isn't alive still. He could be in that
movie. He was in one of those camps in WW2, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched an interview with him, and I'm pretty sure he was in one when he
Good
was young.
Lord.
Did he run a 50s diner at the camp by chance? Or?
The way he got out was he ran and just jumped head first or feet first, both feet in the air, and just went through the wall. Apparently he was able to do that at a young age.
Yeah.
He's gifted.
What a life that guy had.
Mm-hmm. Built
he
a
could
career.
Have been Ken Jeong's father in the movie.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Because he would have been like, he was a great player back then and didn't get the opportunity.
Yeah, couldn't crack the ranks of the Negro Leagues.
He would have been one of the all-time greats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
He's just berating Ken Jeong for not seizing this opportunity that's in front of him.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's perfect. So
now we need a name for the movie, but I don't have one yet.
It'll come at some point. It'll come when it's supposed to.
So there's a feature that they're probably going to need because they're going to need the backup, the undo button.
Yeah, they're
going to need that because that happens too.
People get back together.
Yeah, they do.
And then you're like, whoops.
Which is, you got to be careful with that because if you're out with somebody right after they broke up with someone, and you got to make sure you don't say anything about the other person, the person that they just broke up with.
Because
chances are they're getting back together.
Well, yeah, you can't be
that's a thing. And you just verbally trashed the person that he's getting back
with. Too early in a relationship, you're filling your fucking social media accounts with pictures. And then at the first sign of trouble, you're deleting everything. It's like, take a measured response to what you're doing, okay?
Sure.
And don't, fuck the undo button. It's not going in this app. You got to commit to something at some point.
I will not make that suggestion then when they ask me how it's testing.
Chris has overruled that.
In fact, the app should have a capability that you can never add pictures of that person ever again. It will automatically reject them.
Wow. You can edit her out only once and that's it.
Right, exactly. There's no going back on that decision.
No.
Fucking live with your decisions. That's what this app
that
is.
That raises the stakes. That makes it more interesting.
Seriously, this waffling. Oh, and again, what a time waster. Oh, I just spent 2 hours deleting 400 pictures. Now we're back together. I got to find out how to retrieve them. It's like, figure it out. Reevaluate what you're doing. God. It's ridiculous behavior. I mean, there's just so much stupidity nowadays. Yeah. It's right up there with, your name's Robert Lee. Yeah, you can't do any work in Virginia. Give me a break.
Yeah.
What's next? Are they going to kick all the Robert Lees out of every place below the Mason-Dixon line?
I guess.
Jeez.
It's the solution, apparently.
Unbelievable, man.
Can you just go by Bob for a day? That would have solved the problem.
Or just let's not even mention it. And if somebody at home says, hey, his name's Robert Lee, that's as far as it would go.
Well, sure, that's the obvious.
Let's just not.
That's the obvious
solution. If someone noticed it in the corporate hierarchy, just maybe I noticed it, but I didn't say anything.
And I don't even think.
Because that's a waste of energy.
I think it's just like we don't want to.
It's one of the most stupid decisions of all time.
I would say it's a new level of stupidity.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
That's why I brought it up. We don't typically do all those news outrage stories, but this is
one of the stupidest things that has ever occurred in the history of mankind.
Yep, I agree. So I
absolutely whoever made that decision should not it should be like this edit her out app. That individual should never be gainfully employed in any capacity ever again.
Yeah.
Not even at the fry cook level. In fact, you should put an ankle bracelet on that person. You should not interact with people ever again, except those who are unfortunate enough to be your family members.
Yeah.
Fuck off and go away forever.
Fuck off forever.
Terrible. Yeah.
Great.
Pathetic. Some candy-ass Disney executive made that decision. Go fuck yourself. Get out of here.
So there you have it.
Jesus. Ridiculous.
You know, the rage music should have been happening.
It should have been. Ever.
We're going to see Dave Burke in a couple days. He is very much on top of Andy.
Well, he can yell at him. I'm not going to listen to it. I'll be heckling T's. Take out my aggressions on T's.
The opening act for Gene Simmons in Chicago. T's.
Who does the booking over there? The same people that book the fucking Festival of the Lakes?
Well, T's might be great.
They're not going to be. Okay? Well,
yeah, we know nothing.
Did you see those guys?
So us picking on them is based on one photo. We don't. They might be wonderful.
They might be
but
great.
We haven't.
And I'm hoping they
won't
are.
Be.
I okay. think Chris is right.
You want to put money on it?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely not.
And it's not going to be good.
What if people from Tees listen to Pot of Thunder?
Fuck them, man. I don't care.
Exactly.
Get a new name and get some new photos taken. It's ridiculous. Plus, they're probably my age, meaning old as shit. And they're farting around in a cover band. I guarantee you, looking at them... There will be at least one Godsmack cover in the set. I will put money on.
We don't even know for sure that they're a cover band.
Oh God! Read the description.
Well, so
you don't reference past decades if you're putting out your own music.
That's yeah.
true.
You're probably
Thank
right.
Thank you. I know I am right.
I know.
They're gonna suck. They're gonna have at least one Godsmack cover the set, and they are a cover band. Now then.
I'm excited for them, though.
I'm going to print up checklists for the audience.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of like if you go on like a train trip
can we
to yeah. spot certain things.
Right. Can yeah. we do tease bingo and hand out cards to people?
There's four guys in the band. What's the over-under on the number of wallet chains that will be
yeah.
on the members of the band?
Leather pants on one we saw.
Yeah.
But it's one of those
Affliction gear.
It's one of those
two members or all four?
See, I don't necessarily have a problem with the leather pants, but it's when the band doesn't match. And you've got one guy in leather yeah. pants and
the other guy
an
will
old
have
navy
the fucking,
shirt.
Yeah, the other guy will have the cargo shorts
yeah.
on.
Fuck. Right, yeah.
It's a nightmare.
A guy with an Under Armour shirt. It's like, what? You guys don't match at all. I don't know.
Well,
it's kind of like having an Asian guy on a Negro League baseball team. Similar dynamic.
Yeah.
But it had to happen to move things forward.
There you go.
Become more of a tolerant society.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So what have we booted up the machine
here?
No,
here I go right now. Yes.
Ah, yes.
So how does this interface with the machine?
I got my phone hooked up to it. I'm logged on to Pot of Thunder's
Bluetooth
Facebook.
Or hardwired?
Hardwired.
Okay.
Mm. So I've got it hooked up. I'm logged on to the Pot of Thunder Facebook page. And I'm going to see if I can edit a listener out.
Okay.
See if it works. Who do you guys have any suggestions? Anybody you want to edit out? No.
We can't think.
Should
of
I just go random here?
We can't think of anything to play along with.
Okay. Well,
I can't think of a single listener that I dislike.
No.
Well, I'm gonna have to go random here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna go. Jared Ruman.
Okay.
There you go.
My dear friend
yep.
is going to be edited out.
Now I'm trying. I got to prepare myself here because all signs are pointing to the C word because we've had two classic Gene tunes in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Gene is playing in Chicago, a solo gig in 2 days, which will be 2 days ago as of the debut of this episode.
Yeah.
All signs are pointing to the C word. Now, those who are listening to this episode know whether or not that's come to pass or not. Here in the room, there's some suspense about it. Mm-hmm. So I have to prepare myself and get ready for the possibility that the C word is coming.
Well, you've already gotten lubed up on a couple of rants, so this might be a good episode for it.
Yeah, I'm in the groove for it, so let's see what happens.
This one comes off!
Creatures of the Night.
Oh, right.
It's called
Rock and Roll
Hell.
Okay, that's good, huh?
This is one that there's a good chance we're getting this one, right?
I don't know if it's in the set. They did it at on the cruise, I know that, for the makeup shows.
I try not to look up the sets before I go to shows, but I want to say that like months ago someone posted a set list, and I think this might have been on it. I could be wrong. But
all right.
Well, it'll be all part of the fun.
But this is another Gene song, right?
Yeah, this is Gene Bryan Adams joint, if I'm not mistaken.
I believe you're correct.
What do we do when we're not sure of what's going on? Need to corroborate the information.
Look it up! Look it up! Oh! Look for it right now!
Here we go.
Bryan Adams has a co-authorship on
this one, right?
Gene Simmons had to say, Rock and Roll Hell started off with Bryan Adams and Jim Vallance. Not Bruce Vallance. I don't know. I'd been introduced to them by our producer. At that point, Brian hadn't achieved major success, except for a disco hit he had, Let Me Take You Dancing. I don't know that one. You guys know that one?
Never heard it.
Most of the song was done. My contribution wasn't a lot. It may have been a bridge and a few lyrical changes. Mostly, it was an Adams and Vallance song. Their name should
Never
have been at the top ahead of mine.
Wow. Well, we all know that's not going to happen. You can say that in retrospect, but there's no way, A, he means it, and B, that was ever going to happen. Yeah. So,
and I'm sure most people are aware of this, but there's a kind of a fun thing that happened in the last, I don't know, what, 2 years or so, when Ace came out with his Origins cover.
Correct, yes. Album. Good point.
Ace, who's on the album cover, of course, for Creatures of the Night, but participated not at all. He covered this song, which was, it's a pretty good version. I got no issues with it. It's nice and fun. And it's just, when I saw that, it's like, okay, I'm buying the CD. Because it's like something that you would think, wouldn't it be cool to hear like Ace play a song off of that album?
Yeah.
Or like, yeah, like had he been on it, would there have been any little nuances or anything like that that... you know, just a what if, and he actually fulfilled this particular what if. So kudos to him for doing that. Very, very cool, very kind of hip move that I think a lot of the fans are excited about.
Yeah. And I have a fact here that isn't going to excite everyone in the room, but Vinnie Vincent did not play on this song. We have Robin Ford on lead guitar.
Okay. Well, for all the guitar nerds of my age, it is extremely exciting. This guy is like a fucking god to the middle-aged guitar hobbyists. He's a very highly regarded figure. So, I thought he played on "I Still Love You," though. But he
played on both.
Okay,
couple of them, yeah.
So he's on this one. All right, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
very interesting.
What's notable about Robin Ford? Like, what's something that I would know?
Studio work or band?
He's
setting?
Just. I'm trying to think. Our boy Jack Broad would know this better than me, because this kind of player is right in his wheelhouse. But he's. let me think here. He's basically known for. Well, he's played, you know, kind of a jazzy blues style, mm-hmm. but He's basically known for playing Dumble amplifiers, which are like this total unobtainium maker of amplifiers that Stevie Ray Vaughan used and a few other guys. And he's like the soup Nazi of amp builders.
Okay.
He takes your deposit, and you cannot contact him while your amp is being built. If you do, you're off the list, and you don't get your deposit back.
You can't ask him how it's coming.
No, you can't. No. Either you take delivery of it when he's done. If you even rattle his cage about it, you're off the list, and you forfeit your deposit. This was years ago. I don't even know if he's still making amps or whatever, but like some of the amps he's built on the used market are going in the six-figure range.
Jeez, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's mainly because he didn't make a lot of them, and then like guys like Stevie Ray and Robin Ford, and I think Santana might have had one or something, but it's just like, you know, all the fucking kings of the blues lawyer guitar hobbyist world are users of that, and these guys with all the more money than sense are jumping over each other to try to get their hands on some of this stuff. So that's pretty much the appeal of him. Very good player, but not a household name.
Right.
Unless you're a middle-aged guitar nerd. So.
All right, well, this is track 4 of 9, Creatures of the Night, Rock and Roll Hell. You guys ready?
I am. I'm excited.
Some strut music, isn't it?
Yeah, big time, and it gets even struttier.
I'm still strutting.
And lots of just little, slightly out of control bending going on. It always gave me the impression that it was Vinnie Vincent because, you know, it seemed like something he would kind of do to put a little extra flash there. But very cool. The riff is kind of unusual, I would say. Unusual little thing.
Yeah.
I like it.
Oops.
Oh, sorry. Turn it on again. Sorry.
Oh.
Is that your Genesis reference for the episode? Jerk.
Was it?
Yeah.
Apparently he's been slipping those in for weeks. Good one.
New game.
It took Chris a few seconds at least before the hand went up.
It didn't take. It registered immediately. I was like, do I want to call attention to this nonsense? Kind of like the Robert Lee banning and releasing a statement. It's like, anyway, good. That's over with. Let's listen.
There's always next week.
Listen to a real band in action.
Been under fire 16 years, just waiting for his time to come.
Mm-hmm. Who are we talking about here? Who's the subject of this song?
I don't know. Is it an individual, you think, that actually inspired it? Or do you think this is just supposed to be anthemic?
I'm asking you. You're the Creatures expert.
I don't know that that it's a particular person that it's inspired by. I would put my money behind the theory that it's something like a rallying kind of a thing. We can all identify with this. We're all rock and roll fans.
Yeah, I think
we're all being held down. We're 16 and we've been held down our whole lives.
Is that what it is? It's about 16 years old.
Like
16 year olds.
Yeah, I'm thinking.
Maybe it's about retard in boys' room. Rallying cry
that
for
guy,
him.
That guy's under fire sometimes in the YouTube comments.
Yeah, from his own brother hacking into his account and changing the title of the video.
Just a classic.
Classic
brother
move.
Oh my! Like if we had that when we were, when we were younger,
yeah, and we had the possibility to do the that. Internet, it would have been just mayhem.
Yeah.
Complete mayhem. I wish I'd gotten a screen capture of that, though.
Well, you never think it's going away.
It's lost.
Right.
Lost. I think it's there forever. Yeah.
But I swear to God, I saw it.
I can confirm, yeah. cool arrangement, what the drums are doing. Mm-hmm. Just kind of a lurking kind of a feeling.
Yeah.
And it's cool. I mean, the bass, there, it's just doing the root notes of whatever, you know, whatever chords there would be in its place. And it's just kind of cool to omit that.
This whole album has just got that dark, heavy vibe to it, which is quite the rebound after The Elder. So
the way
there are a lot of people out there who seem to like The Elder, so but it ain't, I think even they could agree that it was not as heavy and formidable as this album.
Oh, not even close. As far as heavy and formidable, yeah.
The not Gene's voice, but the arrangement of it so far reminds me of something that Dio would have put out. Where it's got that doom, 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 doom.
That slow gallop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
very true.
His voice would sound very different on
top of it. It's like Holy Diver. Is
sure.
The verse is practically the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, some of the lyrics are a little tough to decipher.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to Ace's version, it is not difficult to decipher. He's on that whole album, for whatever reason, he's almost over-pronouncing things. I don't know if you've listened to it.
Isn't that the worst when...
It's a little strange at times, the way that he kind of will over-pronounce the lyrics. But, I mean, I'm not knocking the album at all, but...
Yeah.
Just something I noticed that... Some of the words that there's almost it's almost better when there's a vagueness to the to what you're hearing to the lyrics. If you don't understand every
word,
sure.
There's
a certain charm to it sometimes. Yeah.
I don't like it when a singer or even any kind of entertainer figures out what their quirk is or whatever, and then starts overdoing it.
Yeah,
it's always
when
annoying.
when it becomes intentional.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
I'll give you that.
Get me out of this rock and roll hell. I need to get away. Get me out of this rock and roll hell.
Now, isn't in the Kiss world, isn't rock and roll a good thing?
Yeah.
So how is it a rock and roll hell? What is? I'm not following the meaning.
My only guess is that this individual is trying to break to the next level, and it's just not happening. They're on the lowest tier of...
that's what I'm getting,
too. They're in Dante's whatever circle of rock and roll hell right now.
That's the only thing that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's the lean and hungry years right now.
Yeah. So
that makes sense.
I'm in the rock and roll world, but right now it's hell. Really... Waiting to make
I've
it.
Got,
ready
got,
to make
I've
it.
I've got my dreams, but what's happening right now ain't part of it.
Yeah. That's fine. This time the pressure's really on. It's not really like a lyric.
It's like an audition. Is that what we're getting here?
I guess so, yeah. He can feel it in his heart.
Or he's got just, he's down to his last few bucks and
I'm thinking
investing it in something.
Some kind of audition. I don't know. Yeah. Hmm. Because it sounds like something that would be... record company executives there or some, you know, here's your break.
Do you think the guys in Tees can identify with this? Did they have rock and roll hell days?
They're still in them from what I can tell. But I don't know. The guys in Tees, these guys, we should take just pictures of them and send them to Rigs of Dad on Facebook and Instagram. Let that guy have a field day. That's the best follow on social media.
I do not follow them. I have to get on that.
Hilarious.
Rigs of Dad.
Rigs of Dad. It's all pictures of fucking broken down old assholes like me, you know, playing their guitars in like shitty sports bars and stuff. And then this guy just fucking writes these lengthy captions about it. They're just hilarious.
Okay, I am officially following them now.
You won't regret it.
No, I'm trying.
It's the next best thing to Trevor's LinkedIn trolling. It's right up there on that level.
I can't think of what the website was, but do you, Andy, remember we used to go on? There was a website that was like the Brick Wallers Hall of Fame.
God,
where it was really lame band photos, and like 5 or 6 out of 10 would have them standing with a brick wall.
Brick wall or train tracks.
Train tracks was a big, or like abandoned, some kind of abandoned building they were inside of, and you could see the ruins behind.
Yeah,
this Rigs of Dad is on that level.
Okay, I'm excited.
You'll enjoy it.
I am excited.
Be shocked if you don't find it extremely amusing.
Actually, Andy and I, we were in a band after we had discovered that site and took an intentional brick wall picture.
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever send that anywhere? Did that ever get posted?
It was on social media, I'm sure.
But I mean, it wasn't added to the Brick Wall Hall
no,
of Fame.
No, but it been. The way we looked in it, probably would have been.
I even made like a tough guy face.
Oh, yeah.
But I had glasses on, so it just didn't match.
Is that like Rock and Roll Confidential?
Yeah,
or something
it might have been. It might have been.
Yeah, that was good while it lasted. And you know what was even funnier? That, like, on the guitar forums, you know, people would see those pictures and they, like, repost the pictures, like, hot link to them on other forums. I guess, you know, I'm not a tech guy, but whenever somebody just hot links to an image on your site, it uses your bandwidth. Is that something you're familiar with?
That
makes
right.
sense to you?
Okay.
They set it up so that whenever somebody hotlinked to a picture on their site, on that forum would appear a picture of a bum sucking another bum's cock in an alley. And it said bum cum at the top and Rock and Roll Confidential. So like anybody who hotlinked to it immediately got banned from whatever forum they were on for posting it and X-rated.
So that was their way of not having people do that?
Yeah.
Linking, yeah.
Which apparently is, I didn't know that's how it worked, but if you just post a link to a picture, wherever that picture is hosted, that's what uses up all the bandwidth.
Because they're not saving it and then re-uploading it to the forum. Mm-hmm.
So if it's like a highly trafficked forum, that costs them money, so they swapped that out. It was hilarious.
Brilliant.
So, Rigs of Dad is the next logical progression. Great shit. He's gonna fight it, might even steal a guitar. This time tomorrow, he'll be gone. Whoa. There ain't nobody gonna tell him what to do. Think he's a little like me.
This has a jukebox hero vibe.
It does.
Yes, very much so.
Good call. That one guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of confirming my theory.
Yeah, he's in a desperate state.
Yeah, and he's it's a little like me and you. This is a
well, not like him.
Well,
he wasn't.
Well, Kiss did that a lot, and they're still doing it when they come out with new material. Where no, even though it's Kiss, they're still.
They like to.
They're slumming a bit with us. As far as the themes and the lyrics go.
Yeah. Plus there's that recurring theme of you're not going to tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You know? I'm my own man. I'm living life my way. Although this guy's clearly broke. Doesn't have two nickels to rub together.
Maybe that's his way.
He's truly in a rock and roll hell. It's making sense to me now.
I'd like to pose this question to you guys and to the listeners. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of, like, us and a lot of the listeners have been in bands or whatever, you know, some sort of thing like that. What would you equate to your rock and roll hell? Like, I would think, right now thinking about it, if I were on tour and, like, just like a van kind of a tour for like a month. Yes. That's rock and roll hell for me. For me at this point in my life, just thinking about
now,
that.
Now, yeah.
Well, I mean, if I maybe in my early 20s, it would have been less so. Like, it would have had some appeal to it. But is it even something as simple as okay, like there's a return gig happening. I gotta haul all my equipment now. That's a lame version, but that to me is that almost qualifies as a contemporary rock and roll hell for myself.
I'm trying to think of what would be the tour thing would be bad.
Yeah, that would be awful.
I wouldn't be.
What would be so awful about it? I actually thought it was fun.
Well, just I'm thinking at this point in my life.
Well, now, yeah, you can't do that. In fact, a friend of mine is still doing it. He's maybe a couple years younger than me, but I follow him on Facebook. Still out there doing it. Vans breaking down and all this shit that he's going through. The guy, he's married with a kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know whether to respect the guy for still keeping at it or be like, man, you gotta figure it out at this point. I mean, Jesus.
Because, I mean, when you're 16, the rock and roll hell is what's going on in this song. You want to make it.
Right.
Can't make it.
You so want to get not, in the van.
It's not happening. Yeah, it's just not happening. I can't get things rolling. Double that time and the rock and roll hell is a little different.
Right. It's when you have a show and you get there and they're like, oh, yeah, you go on at 1:30. You're like, cool, it's 8 o'clock right now. I have nothing to do until 1:30.
Yeah.
Drive back home and take a nap.
Yeah.
Yeah, my rock and roll hell was we had a gig in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Literally zero people. Yeah.
Really?
In the room.
You had a literal zero?
Literal zero. The sound guy was the only, and the bartender were the only people.
Only
in the
employees.
Room.
I've come close to that. I don't think I've ever had absolute zero, though.
It was the absolute low point of my public music playing career.
Did you play it?
Yeah.
You did, yeah.
But I could see, you know what,
considered a public practice or whatever, but it was just like, you know,
did anybody stroll in during it?
No.
Nobody. Do you remember where it was?
Not the name of the club?
Or just like what kind of place it was? Was it a bar? Was it a restaurant?
No, it was a bar. It reminded me of like the Beat Kitchen where it's got a bar in front, a music room in the back.
And nobody
was there. Nobody.
That must have been a weeknight.
It was a weeknight.
Right? Yeah, because I'm thinking if you play a bar, particularly on a weekend, there's somebody there. Yeah.
It was zero.
In the other room, was there anybody?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay, they just didn't come over to see.
Because there was a cover charge. Ah. Nobody was paying to get in to see that.
Okay.
There wasn't even a local band on the bill, you know, to draw people in. It was a complete catastrophe.
See, that's, I guess,
absolute hell.
Going on tour, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
If you're in your area, you're going to get at least some friends or somebody.
Sure.
Out,
but when you show up in some other city, maybe nobody comes.
Well, we played. I mean,
did you go to a? I mean, how many people just go to bars to see bands? They have no idea who they are.
Very rarely.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't happen.
No.
Didn't happen then. It ain't happening now. So that's rock and roll hell to me.
Yeah. What were you gonna say?
Well, I was just gonna say we, me and Andy were in a band that played a show where there was, for whatever reason, there was a touring band. And they weren't a big deal, apparently. I'd never heard of them, but we opened for them, and there were actually more people there for us.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they were there for us, but during our set.
That would make me think so.
And I just remember being like, oh, man, these guys are on tour, you know, and there's like almost nobody out there right now.
We were over.
I think it was just a matter of time when you go on.
Nah.
There's a difference, I think, between a headliner and like just the band closing the night out.
Right. Headlining, unless you're playing a stadium, headlining don't mean shit. In fact, you don't want to be the last band on the bill ever.
But you're talking about a place that wasn't a bar. That was like a music
That was a
club,
music venue.
Which you typically would go and watch the whole show. That wasn't just people coming in and out.
No,
you're buying
no.
a ticket. That was a Ticketmaster venue. So that's not like, let's go down there and have a beer and see what's up. So yeah, you'd think they would show up to see the bands, but whatever.
I guess
they saw the band they needed to see. You know, I have.
Well, they were there. They were your fans, right?
Yeah, but the
our friends.
The headliner didn't have any.
Yeah.
Well, because they're from out of town.
Yeah. Well.
They're hoping that your fans will stay around and they'll gain some new fans and gain some momentum. But there's no guarantee that's going to happen.
No, I think we were just surprised. We thought it was going to be like, we thought the opposite. Yeah. They're going to have some people here. We're going to get to play for a new audience.
That's not how it works.
No, it wasn't. No.
I think the only thrill in hindsight about playing at that place was knowing that a few weeks later, Charlie Daniels was going to be playing on the same stage.
What venue was this?
It was in Moquina, Illinois, but I don't remember the name of it.
Oh, I can't. Otto's? No, that's in DeKalb.
The Pearl Room.
All right.
That's a nice place. Yeah. I have to tell this story because when else are we going to talk about our Pearl Room show? But I remember, I'm going to say there were three bands. I don't know what order it was. If we were second, were we first? I don't remember. But anyway, a guy from another band, not from the headlining band, but after our set, he comes up to us and we're in the backstage area. Like this place has a legit backstage with pool tables, your own bartender, food. Like it's like a legit place.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
Which we didn't belong. But anyway, we're back there. This guy from the other band comes over and it's me and the drummer of our band. And he's like, dude, that was awesome. You guys are cool. You know, just complimenting us like a nice guy in another band. And I think this is probably as close to word for word as I'm going to be able to remember. But he's given us these compliments, and I'm like, oh, thanks, man. You know, that's cool. And the drummer of our band goes, in mid-sentence, this guy's talking. He goes, all right. I got to go hang out with my fans. And he walks away.
That's the kind of stuff we had to put up with.
All right, shut up. I got to go hang out with my fans.
Just trying to make the other guys laugh, I guess. But yeah,
failing miserably.
That was not rock and roll hell. Getting to actually be in a backstage area with a pool table
and
pizza.
Yeah,
yeah, nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. On the way over, I was listening to some Alice in Chains, actually. I could see this riff kind of being an Alice in Chains kind of thing with the... Because there's a lot of, like, the lower kind of almost obscured
with the
bending and the tremolo or however you want to put it. I don't know. Just drawing a comparison there.
I see something there.
Yeah, I mean, so just a little bit, but it just reminded me.
But then they would take a darker approach to the ringing notes.
Yeah, maybe, but this is still fairly dark. The whole, like Chris said, the whole album.
Yeah, I mean, it's heavy. Heavy. But it's still kind of, I don't know, what's the word? I guess maybe it's... Because I know it's Robin Ford, it just sounds like there's a little more finesse going on, just because I know he's capable of that. But if I didn't know he was playing on this, I would, like you, I would have thought it was Vinnie Vincent and probably had a different take on it. So this goes to show you how your perception can be changed by certain information.
The playing on here really sounds like somebody who's very comfortable. Like, no, this is no big deal. Just the way I can't get past the kind of just constant kind of bending and shaking that's going on. Just it sounds like someone who's definitely not like the hands don't stiffen up when the red light goes on.
This man is a master.
This is a guy who's very comfortable doing.
He's highly skilled, accomplished guitarist. It's interesting. Does anybody know how he came about to play on this album? I mean, I was aware that he played on it, but I just have never been privy to how this came about. But
I'm sure that's for another Kiss podcast.
But yeah, that's something that makes these middle-aged guitar nerds' heads cave in when you point out that their hero played on a Kiss album. It's like, oh my God, how could he have lowered himself? It's like, guess what? Real musicians don't consider it lowering themselves when they collaborate with Kiss.
No. Yeah.
Wrap your mind around that, dickhead.
Yeah.
Now that's
seriously.
Well, but you can look at it two ways. You can look at it as
Anton Fig.
You could say these world class musicians lowered themselves, or you could say, wow, like there's some credibility even for like the hardcorest of hardcore musician rock musician nerds out there. There's a little credibility to Kiss now because these guys were on.
There's a lot of credibility.
So it's either that or you're either happy for Kiss or you're disappointed in your studio ringer.
Well, hey,
a half full.
It's not like it was a feather in your cap at this portion of Kiss's career coming off the Elder. People weren't lining up to collaborate with Kiss, so there's got to be a reason why he chose to do it. And I'd like to think it's... You got some info there?
It's not a great deal of info, but I have something here from Michael James Jackson. Remember, Gene suggested the James.
Yeah, yes. good call.
Because Ace wasn't on the record, there were many other guitarists who auditioned.
Maybe they were lining up, I don't know.
And there were several who actually played solos on the record. For example, on I Still Love You, the guitarist doing the solo is Robin Ford, a hands-down tremendous technician. But the guys were really blown away with Robin. Then Steve Ferris played, blah, blah, blah. We brought in 8 guitarists, 6 were rejected. So were those the 2 guys? But Bob Kulick also did a great job on a bunch of stuff.
But he didn't make the album, right? Didn't I ask him at one of the... Yeah, he answered my question at one of the expos. I asked him if there was... if pretty much everything he played on for Kiss, when they called him in, was that for the record? Like, okay, we need you and it's going on the record? Or was there stuff that he played on that didn't make the record? And I'm pretty sure he said he played some Creature stuff, but it didn't make the record, so...
Well, there's one thing here. It says Bob Kulick played a great solo on Danger, but we soon decided it was in the wrong key for Paul to sing. So that must mean they trashed it.
Whoops.
Yeah. You think they'd just be like, hey, can you redo that?
Yeah, schedules.
Well, hold on.
This is when they had to knock out a tour and an album every year. So.
Hold on now. Next paragraph. Using prototypes of new equipment that wasn't even available yet, and with the help of our engineer, Dave Whitman, we sampled the entire song, modulated it to a different key, sped it up, and were able to keep Kulick's solo from a track that had been played in a different key and at a different speed. At the time, this was all quite amazing. So, there you go. We did use it.
That is actually Bob Kulick on Danger, you're saying.
That's what Michael James Jackson's
really?
Saying.
In
the world of Kiss, there's so many contradictions of who did what. If you dig around, it's like, no, that wasn't him.
There's a lot of that going on throughout rock and roll. You know, a lot of revisionist history, a lot of just flat out lies and fishtails. It's not unique to Kiss, but.
Thoughts on the solo?
It's one of those solos that fits so well that you almost don't notice it. At least when I listen to it, it's not a solo I can hum.
Yeah.
You know, like there's nothing really that I remember from it. I did enjoy at the end, though, after he held that long note, there was like a little bluesy thing he added, which is like the only blues... The blues flavor, even though it's just a pinch.
He can't help himself.
It was interesting. You know, good solo, obviously.
Some of those note choices were interesting in there. That's something you don't usually get from what you hear from Kiss. So, And it makes sense now. It's not nearly as frenetic as something that Vinny would have played. But, I did not know until I knew he played on I Still Love You, but I did not know he played on this one. So I have to use that as ammunition when I'm trying to be the fly in the ointment on the blues lawyer forums over there.
Is that a topic? Blues
well,
lawyer?
They worship Robin Ford over there, so whenever I see a Robin Ford threat, I'm like, you know, he played with Kiss. Then I stand back and watch all the heads explode. It's like they don't believe it, or like I said, they just, well, maybe he needed the money, lowered himself. It's like, no, he didn't lower himself. It's any real musician has respect for Kiss. So if you don't, you're not a real musician, in my opinion.
You heard it here first.
Won't stop for second place.
So it sounds like he's hit a wall.
Yeah.
Maybe the brick wall.
Kind of sound. Yeah, right, exactly.
He's not, I guess, it's interesting songwriting, though. Telling a story, but kind of leaving it open-ended by saying he seems to think it's his destiny.
Yeah. It doesn't say, and then he made it.
I mean, because it almost sounds like.
Yeah, there's no Hollywood happy ending here.
Yeah, it almost sounds like a great deal of time had elapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And we were getting like the, yeah. He's still out there doing it, I guess.
He still stinks.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Just a guy who's terrible or
just
what?
Just a delusional
like
man.
Lips from Anvil or whatever. It's like the personification of guys who should have quit decades ago. It's pathetic. I'm serious. I mean, it's just painful to watch
I just love the... when Chris gets going on Anvil.
Well, it's
all.
Painful to watch, you know?
You don't care for Anvil?
Well, it's just, again, it's kind of similar to that friend of mine who's like, you know, Facebook friends, transmission on the van's out. What do you recommend for a band van? It's like, this is the fifth time he's posted something like that in the past 10 years. It's like, you really want to be putting up with that horse shit still? He's almost 50.
Right.
It's like I said, it's I half want to respect his determination, but at some point you got to quit, man.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen for you.
Well, it kind of happened for Anvil, right? They kind of made it. I don't know. Maybe that wore off. I don't
make anything.
Well, they were on that big AC/DC tour, but I don't know
so
what happened.
What happened since then?
Yeah,
nothing.
I don't know. The whole thing
was orchestrated. All the, you know, people like Lars Ulrich and Slash talking about how influential they are. What bullshit?
Yeah, you don't believe that?
Come on. No, of course I don't believe it. It was all fucking orchestrated. Whoever wrote the book about him or decided to make the movie about him. He paid those guys to say whatever they were going to say. Nobody was influenced by Anvil. Come on.
Did you ever even hear of Anvil?
No, of course not.
Okay, I didn't know.
Terrible.
I went and listened to some of their stuff after the movie.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And I was thinking, like, you know, you get that optimism where you hear about somebody who's got this back catalog and you've never heard it, and you're like, okay, there's probably going to be something I'm really going to dig.
And again, hey, Lars Ulrich and Slash say they were influenced by these guys. There's got to be something here. There's nothing there. Well, it's garbage.
If they can only get Dave Grohl to say something,
then they'd
really
be onto something.
You're right, exactly.
That's how bad. Not even Dave Grohl was friendly to those guys on camera. That's how bad things are for
even
Anvil.
Even he wasn't willing to put in some FaceTime for that.
Even
project.
He didn't think it was like cool and hip to be out there supporting these guys.
He just collaborated with Rick Astley. Didn't want to have anything to do with Anvil. That tells you everything you need to know.
That's right.
Garbage. and complete horseshit paying these guys to say all this great stuff about Anvil. Give me a break. It's bull.
I can never get over the fact that the drummer, you know, we had the Michael James Jackson issue here.
Yeah.
Still calls himself Rob Reiner.
Exactly. That's another one, you know.
Not it's like just, whatever you know. His middle initial, let's just say it's like RJ Reiner. So no, he calls himself Rob Reiner.
Or do what all the rock stars do. Use your middle name as your last name.
Yeah.
Get rid of Reiner. Of course, it's not a concern because nobody had heard of this idiot before. You know, somebody came up with the idea of, oh, let's make a movie about Anvil, and I've got some money to burn here, so I'm going to pay Slash and Lars Ulrich to say all this great stuff about Anvil. Absolute bullshit. I mean, maybe if and when we reconvene with Jericho, he can set me straight on it, but until I hear differently, all orchestrated bullshit, that whole thing. I mean, they're terrible. Give me a break, man.
Did you watch that movie?
Painful to watch. Yeah.
You did, yeah.
So I'll refer back to what I said, that playing Milwaukee for nobody. That's what I felt like. But those guys just were so oblivious to the fact that they have nothing to offer. You know? And it's just, I'm sorry. It was painful to watch. Terrible.
What's the singer's name?
Lips. I mean, come on.
You don't like that?
No, it's just the whole thing is the whole thing is terrible. Just no, literally no possibility of success from those guys unless some fucking filmmaker decided to make them his pet project. Nobody would have known anything about him. Lars Ulrich influenced by them. Give me a fucking break. It's like offensive when he comes out and expects you to believe that. It's bullshit. There's no way anybody was influenced by those clowns.
You know, I heard, I was reading Guitar World last week, the new issue.
Okay.
Really?
They were talking about how Robin Ford was on that Anvil album back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Considered it a career highlight.
That's what they were talking about.
No, yeah. Does Guitar World still have print magazines
I
anymore?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, it was an article about how his approach for hitting the strings with a dildo was better than when Lips does it.
Terrible.
He has more of a jazz influence.
He took Lips's move and made it his own.
Yeah.
Perfected it.
Always a good idea to mimic Lips. Out of here. Jesus. Ridiculous idiocy.
He was on the Metal on Metal album.
So. Unbelievable.
He was punching in for Lips.
Yeah. Somebody should have punched him in the Lips. Well, I think Nick should vote first because we know what's coming. Yeah. He's already... have you stated?
I've stated that any Creatures track, for me, shall be an automatic...
There you go.
And there's no mystery about if this makes it to the next round, what my vote will be. So,
wow.
So have we discussed that every Creatures track for you is not only a hallelujah, but also a good?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Everyone
absolutely.
Gets the dual vote. From
I don't think that it's gonna. That every song is going to make it to that point. But yeah, for me, it's an automatic. So no mystery about it.
All right.
I'll
have to shuffle things around in the next round if we get there.
Just a great song. Great vocal performance by Gene. I always
think that you call that a great vocal performance?
Well,
I wasn't blown away by the vocal performance.
I point usually to the when he it's the end of the first verse, I think, when he just yells the word scream. He screams the word scream. I always thought, just kind of, it makes me think of when I was younger and heard the song the first time. I thought, oh, he screamed like a maniac saying the word scream. Just
pretty cool.
Cool thing. A cool, you know, 11-year-old put your fist in the air kind of thing.
Yeah.
I enjoy the classic move of adding instrumentation as it goes on in the verses. Mm-hmm. Very well done. The drums, I don't know if any of it upset Chris with the thunderous pounding on the toms during the verses, but
didn't upset me at all.
It's just all well done. It's just consistent with this album. Nothing to complain about. Going through it and talking about the subject matter added another dimension for me now. So,
yeah, it didn't really put those two and two together until we got into the lyrics. But, and I must say, it kind of hit a little too close to home for me because it's rough out there, man. And you know, I'll point to these other guys we know that Andy was bandmates in. Within the Faith No More tribute band. These guys are still fucking at it. Fucking putting out GoFundMe campaigns to buy a vehicle so they can go around touring. They're not even paying for it themselves or getting other people to pay for this shit. They got to be in their 40s now, right? Or close to it.
I would say close to mid-40s.
Mid-40s, yeah. I would think, yeah.
I mean, how much longer can you fucking keep at it? It's just, again, it's part worthy of respect and part worthy of outright pity. I mean, it's brutal out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can't expect anybody to care at all. I mean, and even...
If these guys can pull out funding a vehicle from GoFundMe, then they're doing something right in that.
If
in
it
terms
works,
of that,
like if there's
but
a vehicle purchased at the end of
it. In terms of ever getting past the point of taking donations to keep your music going, then they're never going to get there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It's brutal out there, man. We all know it to certain degrees, but, you know, like I'm illustrating here, we know guys who are still fucking at it. And, I don't know. How much? What are you going to be, 70 and still fucking around with this shit?
Like, I bet. I'm sure some people will.
Who's going to see them out of town? I don't know.
Nobody, apparently. Maybe you just try to get booked at bars with no cover who give you $100 for your time.
Or you can hope for, if you put in all that time, you can hope for an Anvil-esque sort of a thing. Or like... was that guy from Detroit, that Rodriguez guy, the Sugar Man? Have you ever heard that one?
No, I don't even.
He was
kind of
like a slightly folky kind of a guy. Had a couple albums in like the 70s. Had a bit of a renaissance. Someone made a film about him and re-released the albums and stuff like that.
That's all you have to do.
You can hope for that, but
if you can get someone to make a documentary,
get some hipster filmmaker to make you his pet project, you know.
Let everyone know that they missed out on something.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a secret
for
you.
Pay a couple rock stars to sing your praises on camera, which is outright lies.
This is actually a good idea.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's do this.
It's all orchestrated. You know, why not? Anybody can orchestrate it. You just got to have enough money to shove it down people's throats.
Yeah. Hopefully they
You know, we had another guy we know just saw his. He posted something on Facebook. He's like, I noticed a band coming through. They just played at the House of headlining at the House of Blues, and I'm thinking back that they were on a bill with my band 8 years ago. It's good to see that you can succeed in this business. I just have to keep grinding.
I saw that too.
It's like, how much longer are you going to grind? And then his wife chimes in on the thread saying that if you went to Nashville, you might be able to have some doors open for you. Are you fucking kidding me? You know how many musicians and wannabe musicians are in Nashville?
Did I tell you this story when I went to Nashville like a month ago?
You want to be a smaller fish in an even bigger pond? Go to Nashville.
That's a big
pond. Ain't
no pond.
Doors open. The only doors opening for you are the exit doors in Nashville. That is the worst idea ever. You will become a nothing if you go there. I'm sorry. Terrible advice.
We went to Nashville.
Maybe she's trying to get rid of him.
Maybe that's it. I stay here. You go to Nashville.
It's just that's possibly the worst possible suggestion that anybody could make to this guy.
We were in Nashville, and it wasn't even like near the Broadway's, the big downtown strip with all the bars and restaurants and everything where everyone's playing. It was like a strip mall. Almost, it's still in Nashville, but like almost suburban strip mall. We went in there, and there's a chicken place like on a Saturday at 2 to get Nashville hot chicken, right? We walk in there, and there's a guy playing in the place for donations, and he's really good. It's like, that's what you would have. You're playing in like the suburban chicken store at 2 p.m. on a Saturday, and he's like, I'm going to be at Kilwin's Chocolates on Thursday night.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you can't make it, but I'm saying that's the
good
reality.
Luck to you.
And that guy, he didn't suck at all. He's really good.
Right, of course.
That's, you know.
Fucking Music City down there. Yeah. Everybody goes there.
They'll take whatever they can get. Everyone's just looking to play, even if it's for free.
It's rough out there, man.
Can I put a tip jar out? That's it.
No, it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
So who's next?
I don't care.
I'll go. I'll give it a hallelujah. Not super enthused about it, and I think the lyrics and the vocal delivery are probably the weak points of it, but you know, I like the overall sound and the vibe of it, and the Robin Ford on guitar thing is highly interesting, so for those reasons, it gets tipped over to hallelujah for me.
I'm
Mr. Podcasting too.
I'm the dick.
Wow.
A hell to rock and roll
bullshit!
Hell.
That this is.
How ironic. Isn't it ironic?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It's actually not ironic. It's merely a coincidence, but go on.
There are things I liked. There were some components of the song that I found enjoyable. But for the most part, I didn't enjoy it.
Wow.
Some of it's cool. I like the beginning. I like that strutty riff at the beginning. But I think the jukebox hero vibe I didn't care for.
That's
some of the lyrics.
That's a valid point, I guess, if it stirs up something. So you're saying you're not a fan of Jukebox Hero?
I laugh at it. Not that, I'm not saying I could write a better song, but it's like ridiculous
to me. It's
just
not your thing.
Yeah. It's like a silly, over-the-top song to me.
How do you feel about Bad Company's Shooting Star? Kind of a similar tale of right you do.
Hate it. Yeah. This guy that Nick and I used to be in a band with, Aaron, for whatever reason, you'd never think if this guy had a Bad Company album he listened to all the time and Shooting Star all the time in his stupid Camaro. I would have to listen to it when we'd go somewhere.
Did not know that.
It's humiliating. Cranking that at a light.
Yeah.
Embarrassed with his T-tops down.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Of the three, I'm going with this song, though.
Yeah, I give you that. But I don't know. Don't like it.
No?
I shouldn't say that. That's not really true. It's slightly enjoyable, but I don't have it in me to give it a hallelujah.
Okay,
I should say that. There are things I like. I like the strutty riff. I don't really like the verses.
No, like I said, it's for me, the lyrics and the vocal delivery were the weak points of the tune.
Yeah.
It was barely a hallelujah for
me. Wow. This is...
I do agree with Nick, though, that I did like the way Gene sounded in it. The sound of Gene. I liked it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's not bad, and the bass sounded good and stuff, but yeah, it was barely a hallelujah for me.
Yeah.
It was cool to hear him play it on the cruise, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would be different.
That
would be cool.
I think that factored into my vote, but
Well.
I'm not surprised by your vote.
Maybe Gene plays this at his show, and I want to redact my vote. I don't know.
Too
late. What happens. Too late. I blew it.
Too late, ball nuts.
Maybe Tease will play it during the opening set.
That would change everything.
Yeah, it would.
Maybe Tease will come out and join Gene for this one.
Tease has made Rock and Roll Hell their own with a riveting version of it.
That's pretty much what their description said.
Yep.
Charisma and chemistry and engaging audiences with their dazzling... We'll see. We might be singing their praises next
we
week.
We won't be.
Well, I apologize, mostly to Nick, but... I'm sorry. I have to speak from my heart.
This is pretty outrageous.
I'm sorry.
Pretty egregious.
I know you say every song from Creatures of the Night.
At least.
A slam dunk.
At least a hallelujah.
Well, not today.
Well, I'm the party pooper.
Some Jones Brothers bullshit inflicting one of the Jones Brothers. Interesting move.
Sometimes that's the way it goes.
Yeah. How does it feel, Nick? It
sucks.
It sucks.
Tell me about it. Welcome to my world.
Downright awful.
Yep.
But I feel like I've been had.
But what do we do when we rubber stamp it?
That's just the fucking way it is.
Yep.
It is the way it is. Truer words were never spoken.
There's nothing you can do about it at this point. Not even me. I can't reverse it.
Nope.
Once I hit that button.
Vote's been cast.
Hell has been cast. That's it. Not a classic.
Stupid.
See? Yeah. Oh, wow. All right, so what do we got? We got anything tail end? We got Yardo questions?
Yes, sir.
Look at that stack. it's getting bigger.
It's obnoxiously big.
These questions come from Lips. Just kidding.
How do I stop sucking?
That's a good question.
What if he's not
Lips.
Sucking?
For someone named Lips to ask as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are we doing now? Who do we got? Who donated their Yardo questions?
We have to open the segment. It's time to go yard, Nick. All right.
Oh, my God.
We're going yard tonight. Oh, yes.
Here we go.
Jesus.
This Yardo Questions comes to us from Monsieur Raoul.
Okay.
That's it? Monsieur Raoul?
Yep.
Not Monsignor Raoul?
Nope.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
That would be pretty sweet. All right. Hey there. Love the show.
Of course you do.
Here's my Yardo questions.
Love the show. Love Tease. What's not to like?
Question one. If you had to pick any Kiss song to be sung by another member of Kiss, which one would you choose?
We have one kind of... We had one on this episode with
that's
Ace
true.
Doing the solo.
I would not pick this one, but that's a good example. Always... found it interesting. Not saying that this is my pick, but just to get the conversation rolling here. When you'd hear the acoustic versions of Paul doing Hard Luck Woman.
Yeah.
Or like Mainline. I think there's one of them doing Mainline. I could be wrong. This is a good question. And then, of course, you had, which I thought was a successful one. I think this is an SKKK. We had Young and Wasted off of the Lick It Up album, which Eric Carr would sing live on the tour.
Right. That Animalize Uncensored, yeah.
Yeah, great call there. So they've done this. They've kind of fulfilled this fantasy, but let's see. Is there a song that you feel that maybe the guy that did it wasn't quite up to snuff, up to the challenge?
Yeah, is that the question? Is it that... It needs to be replaced by someone, or just you'd like to hear it for fun?
Just for fun, I'm going to go with my all-time favorite Kiss song. Mm. And this does not fall under the under the criteria that I just put out there of maybe the original version, the guy doing it didn't really nail it.
Yeah.
Because he did. I'm going with Parasite. I'd like to hear Peter sing Parasite.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah. And because in the live version, you had Gene and Paul kind of doubling it.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear, I guess, Peter take Gene's spot. Just for fun. And because it's my favorite Kiss song. So.
That makes sense.
Chris, do you have something that you would, some fantasy vocalization?
I'd like to hear Paul do That's the Kind of Sugar Papa Likes in Soul Station.
That would be,
that would be cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'd like to hear Paul do anything from Peter's solo album with Soul Station. That's what I want to hear.
I'll go with that too.
All right. Question two, if you were a member of KISS, what would your character name... Oh, wait, what would be your character name and makeup design? Sorry about that.
Oh, boy. This is a tough one.
Shoot from the hip.
Shoot from the hip. So, let's see. Put it in perspective. We've got the demon. We've got an animal. We've had two animals. Drummers are both animals.
Yeah.
Of the feline variety.
Yeah. Guitar, we had sort of mystical kinds of things.
Spaceman and Egyptian warriors.
So I guess it depends on what instrument you fancy yourself playing in the band. You're going to go for something evil? Are you going to be the bass player? Do you want to be a puma and be the drummer?
That'd be kind of sweet.
I guess if you're going to go guitar, then you'd have to... Well, they call him the wizard already, so you can't use that. But something mystical like the shaman.
There you go.
Something.
Sure. Medicine man.
The medicine man. That's not bad, actually. I might go with medicine man and makeup design.
What? Yeah.
I guess you'd have to kind of go with going into Misfits territory a bit, but you're going with Medicine Man. You want to go with maybe like the old school iodine bottle with the skull and crossbone thing.
Be cool.
Maybe a play on like a skull and crossbone. Of course, it would have to be pre-Misfits or else, you know, you're kind of ripping it off.
But yeah.
Sure. Why not?
Chris?
I don't even know what to do. I guess since, you know, I'm not going to buy into Nick's having it depend on the instrument, but I guess since felines have been represented, I would be some sort of wolf.
Okay.
And what was the name or what was
yeah,
I guess you could be
name.
The wolf.
The wolf.
El Lobo.
El Lobo's good.
Exactly.
What would anything come to mind? Any sort of makeup design description?
Just wolf's markings on my face, whatever they might be. I don't know. Maybe a white spot in the middle of my forehead. I don't know.
Works.
You know, that's... I heard an interview with Bruce a while back where someone asked him that, if he had his own makeup design. And he said he loves dogs so much he'd be some kind of dog.
Yeah, canine, feline. Yeah. He can't be the wolf. I've just commandeered myself.
That's taken.
He can be maybe some sort of fox.
Well, there already is one.
Well, that is. So the fox is not a feline. That's a canine.
That's a canine.
Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah.
All right, we were completely wrong about that. So I'm sticking with the wolf, though.
All right, question three. If you put every member of KISS in a ring, Royal Rumble style, who would come out the winner?
Wow. All right, this is interesting because you can't just go on their physical. Yeah, you have to go on cunning.
Sure.
Who's gonna try to pit people against each other?
The clear winner for me is Peter. He's going to revert back to his kill or be killed street mentality, and he's just not going to let up.
See, I would think Peter would get himself into a position where he'd be in that zone, and it would almost be a distraction to him. And someone's just going to come up behind him, pull down the rope, and let him flip him over. So I don't know that I could. I don't know. I don't know that I can go with Peter in this one.
That's a no-brainer for me.
I'm thinking he'd be seeing red, and it would quite possibly work to his detriment.
I don't agree.
I'm going to go Paul. Kind of an obvious, another sort of obvious choice, but just his, he seems like he would survey the playing field, take in all factors. Physically, you know, he's got it too. And just his, I'm like a pit bull not letting go kind of a attitude that he often talks about having.
All right,
I'm going to go Peter. I mean, Paul.
Well, Peter.
I'm going to go Peter being eliminated early, and then Paul taking the whole thing.
Well, there you have it, just in time. And thank you to Monsieur Raoul for the questions.
Those were some good ones.
Appreciate that. But hey, guess what? We're out of time. So that sucks. But I have good news for you. You're invited to the podcast event of the week next Monday.
When Marcus was the game, yeah. Ooh.
Tees is a hard rocking staple in the Chicagoland music scene.
They're the opener?
T-E-E-Z-E in all caps.
Jesus. Might have to heckle the shit out of them. Simply just keep saying, get off the stage.